Many of us are stepping forward this fall into a new thing, a new class, maybe college, maybe something different in your personal life. Whatever it is, we're probably stepping forward. So I have a question for you. What does an airplane, a bicycle, and a church have in common?
Faith that they'll do what they're supposed to.
They what?
Faith in what will happen. Will happen.
Think of what will happen will happen.
The airplane will fly, you'll be able to ride your bicycle, and you'll come to church and dream the word of God.
Okay. That is one thing they have in common. Anybody else have a thought on this? Oh, wow, says the wise young college student. Joe, your money's paying off. Yeah, they are, aren't they? And the other thing about all of these three things that if they stop moving forward, they're in trouble. Now, living where we do, we know that during Wisconsin winters, if you're driving uphill and it's icy, you don't stop, right? You get some momentum and you go, you keep going. As long as you keep moving forward, you're okay. Stop, you're gonna be in trouble. Likewise, as Christians, the church needs to keep moving forward. And we do that by following five steps. We consult the Lord. We read the Word. We listen for God's leading. We follow in faith and obedience. And then we expect the miraculous. Now, notice the scripture that we read starts out with Joshua being really on fire for God. What we don't hear in any of that scripture is Joshua questioning God. He doesn't. He doesn't question God at all. He's passionate. He's determined. And from the very first verse, we see the heart of Joshua. We see that he rose early in the morning. God gives him an opportunity and he acts immediately. Joshua was passionate for God. When God told Joshua to move, he did. Now some people, not you of course, but some people, when God tells them to do something, they respond by saying, well, that doesn't make sense. Or, it seems to me like I should do something different. People are telling me I should do something different. Or, if I go with that plan, things are gonna go really wrong. In verse 3, Joshua tells the Israelites, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests carrying it, follow it. So if you need to know, if you want to know where you're going, you see the ark, they're carrying it, go in that direction. How many have seen, and this speaks to my age as well, how many have seen Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Seen it, okay. Good movie. And Harrison Ford. I digress. Okay, so you know from that movie, the Ark of the Covenant is pretty precious. And the Israelites hold it precious for two reasons. First of all, it contained the two tablets of the law. It contains the commandments that were written by God's own finger. And more importantly, it represented the very presence of Yahweh. In essence, following the Ark was the same as following God. Now, we're not always sure in decisions that we make in moving along in life which way we should go. But with God leading the way, we can go with confidence because we know that God has promised to never leave us, never forsake us. The Australian coat of arms pictures two creatures, a kangaroo and an emu. The emu is a flightless bird, and the kangaroo, you know, hops around. These animals were chosen because they share a characteristic that appealed to the Australian government. Both the emu and the kangaroo share what in common? Any ideas? Yes, they are both unique to Australia. Secondly, neither one can move backwards. They can only move forward. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall if it tries to go backwards. And the kangaroo, by virtue of its tail, can't move backwards. They can only move forward. Now, if we truly follow Jesus, if we choose to follow Christ, we become like the emu and the kangaroo, moving forward, not backward. When we're following Christ, there's only one direction that we go. When God tells us to move, we have a choice. We have free will. We can move forward and be blessed, or we can stay where we are and become stagnant. You see, God was going to do things that would absolutely amaze the Israelites. And that's what Joshua told them. Buckle your seatbelts. You are about to be amazed. If we step out in faith, God's going to do something that blows our minds. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Now you know what you've imagined in your life, and you know what you've asked in your life, and God is able to do far more than all of this. The point is, our God has power over all things, and he's able to do so much more than we can ever imagine. But we have to be willing to step forward to see it. And sometimes that's hard. It's easier to just stay put and be comfortable. It's easier to not risk. It's easier to not take chances and make mistakes. Joshua tells the priests to take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. Now, this was a tremendous step of faith on their part, because although they were used to carrying the Ark, this was the first time that they were leading the way with it. And up until now, the Ark was in the midst of the people, but now it was ahead of the line, and the people were going to follow it. But they did so without question and without hesitation. And it was precarious to carry the Ark, to be one of the Ark carriers. This is where the stone tablets were in that God himself touched. It was so utterly holy that touching it or looking upon it could cause death. Our human frailty is just not able to handle the holy. So, if you're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, A, you'd better be wide awake, and B, you'd better be sure-footed and not get easily distracted. So now it gets even more tricky. Joshua tells them, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, step forward into the river. Now, verse 15, if you remember, tells us that the river was at flood stage. And the Jordan, by the way, means to descend. And it's thought that this word was because its banks were anywhere from 12 to 14 feet high. So there was a big incline down to the river. And the river wasn't tamed and corralled like it is today. Today, you know, we have our modern stuff. We have the water that is ferreted into different towns, and the Jordan is tamed. And maybe you've seen those lovely pictures of people being baptized in the Jordan, and they're just standing there about waist high, and it's a very mild river. But it wasn't at this time. You remember the song, Michael, Row the Boat Ashore? Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Jordan's river is... chilly and cold and deep and wide. So they're being asked to cross this thing. So for them, stepping into the water was literally a leap of faith. Can you see it now? The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and they step off the bank, and the water is now touching their feet and the hem of their robes, and soon they'd be over their heads. What God is asking them to do makes zero sense. There's a story of a guy who wanted to impress his hunting buddies. So to impress them, he bought the smartest, most expensive, most talented hunting dog he could find. And he trained this dog. And this dog was like no other dog on earth. It could do impossible feats that would surely amaze everyone. So he goes out duck hunting with his buddies, and they're in the boat. And they take a couple of shots, and a couple of ducks fall in the water. And the hunter says, "Go get him, boy!" And the dog takes off running across the water, picks up a couple of ducks and comes back and drops them in the boat, and then goes off and runs across the water again and comes back to the boat bringing more ducks, and then it trots back across the water back to the cabin. Nobody says a word. And the hunter says, "Well, do you notice something kind of special about my dog?" And they both kind of rubbed their chins, and the one finally said, "Yeah, your dumb dog can't swim." One thing we know for sure, if we're going to follow God, is it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. God is going to ask us to do things that seem difficult, if not impossible. We're going to go where we haven't been before. God is going to ask us to go where we cannot see. God is going to take us places we have never been. God is going to ask us to do things we don't know how to do, unless we're willing to step forward in faith. We will never accomplish what God has in mind for us. And when the priest took the next step, the waters way up from the mouth of the Jordan and all along the way stopped. And they found themselves standing on dry ground. And they moved forward. And the Israelites followed. If we step out in faith, following God, the improbable becomes doable. The impractical becomes possible. The impossible becomes reality. When we do what God says and follow Him without question, we can expect miracles. Does God still do miracles? Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them firsthand. Our God is alive. Our God loves us. Do you want to be part of the miracle that God wants to work in your life? Are you willing to step out in faith and obedience? What swollen river is God calling you to cross? I'd like you for the next 5 minutes to turn to your neighbor in groups of three or four and discuss what swollen river God is asking you to cross. Does anybody want to share? I can tell you that my swollen river happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I guess it'd be 3 years ago now, when I moved here. The bishop said, we have discerned an appointment for you, and I was sent here. And at the time, I was going through a lot with my family, but God said, go. And now I feel the blessings overflowing me. It didn't take long to start to feel that, but I was hesitant to put my foot in the water. I was afraid. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Let us pray. Holy God of miracles, help us to take steps forward in faith. Help us to be like the emu and the kangaroo. Help us to follow your presence in all that we do. Amen.